Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to Heroes of the Horn, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Ezra, friends. Welcome back to our Wheel of Time book club, where we're talking about the TV show. We're talking about Amazon Wheel of Time Season 1, Episode 1. It just moments ago, about an hour ago, it dropped.
It dropped early.
We are, so you might hear, we're live on YouTube. We're going to post this on our podcast later. We just watched it. So
let me go ahead and say it
is real.
Let me go ahead and say it. Okay.
Say it.
I was once quoted in the New York Times as for three little words. All right. Describing season 8, episode 3 of Game of Thrones. Okay. And I'm going to quote myself. All right.
Okay.
I can sum episode 1 of Wheel of Time up in three simple words. Worth the wait. Okay,
let me tell you.
Wow. Is all
wow.
I have to say. My dear God.
Yeah.
It's great. It's grand. Grand is the word I will use to describe this show. Everything that we went in thinking about it, at some points we were kind of nervous a little bit about some of the production quality. I will talk about that a little bit. I do have a little mixed feelings on the Trollocs and some of the CGI a little bit. However, the lighting, the pacing, the casting, the score are all 10s out of 10s. And keep in mind, when comparing this to many other shows, for a pilot episode, this is one of the best pilots I've ever seen of any television show in history, and I mean that in all seriousness. Even this show will be compared to Game of Thrones. Go look at the production quality of Game of Thrones episode 1 and go look at bleach blonde surfer blonde Tyrion Lannister's hair. Okay.
Right.
different kind of story here. My God, as I wish I was actually recording myself. I should have been recording myself because, and thank God that nobody was in the house, and this is full spoiler mode. And again, we've read the book.
Full spoilers. We're talking about. Yes.
I was like, okay, this is good. God, I can't stand Nynaeve, all this stuff. Right. But let me tell you something. I knew it was coming, right? Cause we've read the books and all this stuff. When the Trolloc attacks.
Yeah.
Tam Althor. Okay. And he goes under the bed. I literally stood up and I was like, let's go. And he pulls out the Heron Mark blade. Yeah. And I was like, let's go. This is everything we've been waiting for. Everything we've been waiting for. God, Lan was amazing. I will go as, even though, you know, I do feel like some of the CGI was a little, I was like, I don't know about that. At least just for like, this is supposed to be like super production, you know, kind of level type stuff. I will say even season 1 of The Mandalorian has some moments where you're like, whatever. And it's supposed to be, I think, roughly the same budget. But again, the budget will only get better because the show is going to be successful. I think after just episode 1, that's pretty obvious. And they've just announced season 3 and everything. So, for an episode 1, it's a 10 out of 10 for me. It is a 10. I mean, and I would stack that against any other pilot of any other show that I've ever seen of television. Dead serious. As serious as I could possibly be.
Yeah, I know. I was what? So I was sitting here. My live reaction is going to be on YouTube for folks to see. I lost my ever living mind at some points. I have been waiting for this for years. This is so wonderfully adapted. So far we've only seen just the first episode. I was blown away, Matt. The moment for me where I started saying it right away. I said the casting and the acting right now from these young actors.
Right.
That I don't know. I've not seen them in other works. When Egwene and Rhaen, we're full spoiler mode here. We're sitting there and she starts crying.
Yeah.
I started crying. I was like, not cry. I was like, I'm like emotional. I'm emotional. They got so many emotions out of me. I just could not believe, like Nynaeve's situation. Perrin, without saying words, you know what they did with Perrin that was so well? He's a quiet guy. He's he carries stuff on the inside. And at the end there, man, he didn't have to say a word. I felt everything. The actor showed me everything in his body language. I just could not believe it. They've done a wonderful job. Barney Harris playing
I was actually almost somewhat slightly disappointed watching Barney Harris portrayal as Matt, just since we know he's not coming back. And I'm just like, wow, I don't know, man.
Wow. I know.
He's really good. He's really good. And I'm like, oh, how do you?
He's really good.
He's so good that I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, how do you not?
But you know,
I know.
All of the thing with this is this landed really well. I mean, they are, Rhaen was good, right? I mean, Nynaeve, Egwene, Perrin, Matt, all of it. I was shocked by some of the changes that they made. Yeah. Just fantastic. Yeah, go ahead.
Comment here. Melissa says it could be the frame rate on your TV changing. It may help because we had talked a little bit about some of the TGI and stuff like that. And some people were saying some of the coloring and stuff. I will say because I think I have sort of like medium level internet. I mean, it's like, I don't know, 40 megs a second or something like that. So it's kind of like middle of the road. It's, you know, I can stream 1080p and all that stuff. I know as you have much faster, but I did notice there were, I on my Amazon, actually I had to drop the quality a little bit because it just launched and so many people are watching it. This happens a lot with Netflix. I know in years past shows like House of Cards, like broke the internet. Right. And I think like Stranger Things and stuff like that too. It's just like their servers just get hammered.
Right.
So episode one. Again, I think the casting is phenomenal. The set, everything looked great. The lighting looked really well.
Yes, sir.
Even the score
was great.
The intro is just the Wheel of Time logo, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I think we were all sort of expecting some sort of like super epic Game of Thrones, right? Like style intro, but don't know, and that could change. And people who are into episode two might even know.
Right.
Because it's a lot of times episode ones won't necessarily have that. And even though they're all three out, we are doing this one by one because we want this full experience of checking it out as we watch it. Padawn Fane, I thought, was great casting. And then, perfect. My God, dude, when Tam Althor, right, who we know, right, from Game of Thrones, is... there is a big intro, starts in episode two. Okay, sweet. There we go. So when Tam Althor, who we know, right? And first of all, I've been saying this before the show. I'm so excited to see him as sort of a good guy because we know him from Game of Thrones where he plays like a super evil guy.
Yep.
And I was like, God, I can't wait to see him. And he's fantastic. When he's talking about the Wheel of Time, right? And I was like, let's go, man. Like...
giving that line again, so, and also knowing that it's Tam and it's Rand's father, the whole thing, they're out there away from the city, reflecting on the loss of his wife and Rand's mother. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Guys, I'm probably going to stutter this entire episode because I just can't get my thoughts straight, man. Like, I love it.
Right. We have to do our best to give, you know, it's so different than when we've
got to step up.
Well, no, it's so different than when we did Game of Thrones, because when we were covering season 8 of Game of Thrones and past toys, you just get the one episode, and it'll be the case going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now, it's like we know that those other two episodes
sitting
are out there, and so we're like, we gotta.
I know. Hey,
but just real last kind of point here.
Sure.
I mean, obviously you have to toss it up. I mean, Rosamund Pike as Moraine is like perfect. Perfect casting.
Perfect.
And then what about the very, very, very beginning? Mm-hmm. This isn't the right guy. We see that other dragon that male channeler they're chasing.
A man who can channel. That was a great way to start that. The Red Aja showing you what can happen, what can be done. Yeah. The start to this was fantastic. I just Matt, a couple moments. Can we go through just like highlights
of
our favorite moments? Okay. One of my favorite moments. It's a dark moment, but it was Padon Fane.
Great.
When he smiles, those Trollocs are raiding, and you see a smile split his face, and he turns and walks behind his wagon. I was like, oh my
God.
I was like, they are nailing this. They're nailing this. So that was fantastic. The shot, you mentioned Tam, right? Dude, how quickly did that camera just pop in on the Heron Mark blade? Just that's all we needed.
Very quickly.
Boom.
Yeah. And then I got Lan. He's who we were saying going into this. We're like, that's the best casting of the whole thing. Like,
yeah,
because we saw him sort of in costume first and we were like, he's the best. It looks sweet.
Yes.
Daniel Haney, is that his name, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a twist, and we knew this was rumored, was the twist of Perrin having a wife.
Jeez.
Which we talked about, you know, some of the book stuff we see in book four, which we've covered on the podcast. It is on our YouTube channel. So this could be super spoilers for the show. So just kind of take that with a moment. There's a moment in The Shadow Rising where basically Perrin goes back to Emmons Field and a lot of his family have been killed. And so then that kind of changes him. Well, now they give him a wife, and I was not expecting him to accidentally kill her,
Matt,
and their unborn child.
It's
I actually really like it because it sort of speeds him along. Because in the books, it feels like, man, it takes a while to get his story rolling,
right?
So I definitely liked that, and I liked the furthering of Rand and Egwene's relationship.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Just because we talked about this, where in the books it's pretty much over, right? Like after a few chapters, it doesn't really go that far.
Right.
But in a TV show, that would be like episode two. So yeah, right here. 6 foot stack of books says the Perrin wife thing actually seemed to heighten the Perrin character a lot. It does. It gives him a ton of depth, and it will give him a ton of depth going forward. And we haven't watched episode three yet, but just from the production stuff we know and the books as well, is that we should get to him with the Tinkers in that episode. And that's where his sort of ideology will begin to change a little bit.
Yeah, Matt. I like what they did. I mean, again, the Perrin stuff,
the hammer or the axe.
Matt, did you see what she was using?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's his wife in there swinging that hammer, and he's going to reflect and think on that. And those moments will slow down in his mind. By God,
one final thing real quick is, wasn't her name Della or Dala?
I think so.
I think she was the woman who was cast because Tom Marilyn.
Yeah.
Has a girlfriend in The Great Hunt, the second book, whose name is Dala.
Yeah, Dana.
And maybe it is Dana.
It's really close.
It's one of those, right? Yeah. And she dies, right?
Yeah.
She ends up dying. And so we were thinking, oh, that person who was cast for that was going to be Tom Marilyn's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And they were going to bring that story forward and have her die or something like that. But then they changed it. And so it was Perrin's wife. I love the change. It does give him a ton of depth going forward that they can then sort of skip past a lot of stuff that happens in The Shadow Rising and sort of keep that ideology going. Just because his character is one that feels like it takes a while to get going in the books. But because we know they're going to be blending a lot of these books, they're going to be bringing a lot of stuff forward and probably shoving stuff to the side as you get to some of the later books where you'll have characters who we don't see. We don't see Perrin at all in the fifth book. So obviously we're going to be bouncing around and stuff like that. So I think it was great. I think it was, to me, of the biggest changes so far from what we've seen, I think that's the best.
Yeah, yeah, I do. I think it's, and again, someone said earlier when I was watching it that this is a TV, like it's a showism, right? It's something yes. that the show did. And when the show does something that good, that makes you that emotional and strikes and it works, it's, I mean, man, it's a big plus. It's a big uplift mm-hmm. to the show. You know, it starts to really validate and say, okay, the show is doing its own thing, but it's also doing it right. And it's doing it in a really, really cool way. I have a comment here real quick, just from Sorcha, just that on this interaction with the Tinkers that is coming up, what we're planning, we've seen this in the trailer.
Episode 3, right.
Yeah. It's going to be more meaningful with the way his wife died. And you think about just this stuff. Remember when he first comes across them, he's so worried about people like the way of the leaf and all the things that are happening with the Tinkers and them being protected and just all this different stuff. So it's going to be really interesting to see what he thinks during his time there. But yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Right here. When the women tag team, the Trolloc, so much Two River characters.
Yeah.
It was, we definitely showed that they definitely did that. Yeah. I'm just trying to think really anything else that really sort of stuck out into my mind specifically of episode one. I think the boys' interaction with each other is great. Rand, that's a character, you know, that's who this whole thing is going to be about. I mean, he even just from episode one, you can tell, I think, there is something slightly different about him from everybody mm-hmm. else in the Two Rivers. Mm-hmm. One, obviously, his skin color a little bit. So like seeing sure. it, I think even because we know this is a really diverse cast and everything.
Sure.
And so I do think that even seeing him with the rest of the Two Rivers cast, where mm-hmm. a lot of the other people in the Two Rivers, I mean, do have a little more sort of darker skin mm-hmm. tones.
Yeah.
I think it works really well given what we know sort of about Rand, right? Although, yeah. you know, what's funny is I think it's actually in the books, it's like the other way around, right? Because mm-hmm. isn't it like he has slightly more of a darker?
I don't remember.
Well,
I
just, more so just darker. He just looks more.
His hair, too. Right. Yeah, it's his hair that really stands out. But no, that's a good point. I actually like that they do separate that out a bit. Here's something. Did you catch this? It feels like, because the ending of that, people were saying when I was watching it, it's a bit kind of rushed at the end. Like the village just accepts that, okay, they must go. And Moraine must have told more of them. They probably said goodbye to their families. But it's known in that village, or Moraine knows, that they're Ta'veren. It's just known.
Yes.
There are four Ta'veren. There's no Loial saying Ta'veren. You know what I mean? Which that'll come later. But Ta'veren is important. Moraine knows that going in, which I thought was cool. That kind of speeds it up a little bit. The wheel is weaving a web of destiny, and she sees it, which is pretty cool.
What about Matt's family?
That was bonkers.
That's different.
Yes. And I thought he's dealing with a lot there. Also, he's not very lucky, is he? He loses his money. He doesn't win a whole lot. His luck is not with him right now. Yeah. Something is up, right? Two things. Yeah.
I was going to say, huge change, which does confirm what some of the, not necessarily leaks and stuff. And again, people who are in episodes 2 and 3 right now that are watching it, right. already know this. But I would say the biggest change that we knew was probably going to be different was there was no Tom Marilyn in episode one. There was mm-hmm. Tom Marilyn was not at Bell Tyne. Mm-hmm. He was not in the Two Rivers, even though we know he is in the books.
Yep.
So we are probably going to see him episode 3 once the split happens.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple things, I guess I want to mention. One of my bigger takeaways from this was that the attention to detail was there, because when Nynaeve pushes Egwene into the river, they are the Two Rivers folk. They're in the Two Rivers. And she says, trust the river. You know, it's little things that are world building, mystic building around the women's circle and what happens there. It's secret to them. We learned more about a wisdom's life and what happens with the wisdom. We also saw things like when the Trollocs, when all the little the animals were spread out and you saw the carcasses and the bodies and the intestines of the animals, you saw the dragon's fang. That was the dragon's fang. Like little things like that that kept sticking out. I was like, God, the attention to detail here is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm mistaken, but when we see Rand and Tam on the road, which we do, right? We did not see them see somebody off in the distance.
I don't think so. I think.
Okay.
Remember they heard something though? Right. Like he points his bow up into the thing. What was that? I'm trying to remember like when he does the first
right.
draw.
Yes.
I don't know if that was what that was supposed to be or something. I can't remember.
Right. So the two scenes that we were able to see as well, we saw the scene where Moraine walks in again. Here's one of these things we said, and this actually goes to a lot of the things we said, is when we were looking at some of these tiny little teases we were getting, we were saying we need to see it in its full context because some of the shots they were showing us were kind of awkward and weird. And I was like, I don't know. And mm-hmm. I remember us saying the acting felt a little stiff when we saw the scene of Moraine walking in, mm-hmm. but then we see it again and we see it in its full context. No, it's perfect.
It's perfect.
And then we'll get to it. I mean, what did you think? I was talking, and again, I think the whole show looks great, but I will say, we have our group with our buddy Sir Jimmy, who runs a book tube channel, and some of our other buddies. We were talking a little bit about the CG and the Trollocs. I mean,
yeah, to me, you know,
I don't know. I felt like there were a few moments where I was like, I don't know about the CG, but I'm not saying it's like terrible, but it was just like the production quality for me on everything else seems so high mm-hmm. that being like a slight step back.
Yeah.
Made it feel a little kind of odd, I guess, because it's one of those things where it's like normally when you see a show with bad CGI, and the CGI is not bad here, it's just not excellent. To me, it's normally like when you see a show like that, you're thinking like a CW show or something like that. But this has better lighting, better scoring, better camera work, better everything.
Yeah, no, Matt, that's a really good point. So here's something that I thought about. If you wanted to be critical and you wanted to find, like, if you're nitpicking and looking for something, that I think right. that's the thing you would go to. And let me tell you something else, though. I think that's okay. I'm willing to just say, like you said, everything else is so great that I'm like, all right, I overlook some of that stuff. But here's the other thing: it's hard to get the Trolloc right. Like, I think they got right. it. I was like, the aggressiveness and the massiveness of the Trolloc and what the wrecking force that it is. I said it during my live reaction. They nailed that. Now, whether the look is pulled up when they're stills, I think it's fine. It's the action sequences with the power that was was throwing people off a little bit.
I think it could also be that this is brand new and we haven't seen it a bunch, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because like right now I'm going back and I'm rewatching Smallville, which does not have good CGI. There are some moments where it has okay CGI for like, you know, network television shows in 2003 through 2009. But I've watched it so much that even it's odd and sort of sometimes cringy CGI by today's standards, you become more accustomed to it. So even for some people that do, and I think I just noticed it maybe a little bit again, once we're 2 to 3 episodes in, and then once this whole season's out and we're, you know, like 3 years from now, when we're blitzing through seasons 1 through 4 again to get ready for season 5, it'll become more commonplace. I think you can even go back to Lord of the Rings on your first initial playthrough, and you could be like, man, these orcs feel weird. And then you just get so used to it mm-hmm. that it becomes more commonplace. So for even myself, I would consider myself somewhat in this camp where like CGI just caught me off guard for a second. And then I think a lot of people will become more used to it, and it will get better. And it's not bad. It is by no means bad. It's just that the rest of the show is like excellent.
Yeah. It's.
And so for me, it was like instead of being a 10 out of 10, it was like an 8 out of 10. And I was like, oh, there's a little disparity there. But the whole thing was great.
Yeah, you know, the thing too is sometimes you have this situation where people, I was watching my phone a bit, and I saw the reactions, and I have our chat up, and until somebody said it, I didn't notice it. So it's that subtle that until you guys, because you guys are more into that cinematography and looking at, you know, the CGI and things, I was right. just so caught up in the action that I didn't even notice it. So, and which is, I think, the point 6 Foot makes here, right? Yeah, if the story stays strong, keeps hooking us in.
Oh, yeah.
CGI, yeah, which is overlooked.
The fade looked great, menacing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I thought we were going to see that fade step out, and I didn't see Land take him on. You know what I mean? Like, I thought we were going to see more of that. So that's maybe episode 2, my friend,
which, you know what? I think because we get in this and it's all at once and it dropped early, which is mm-hmm. insane. Mm-hmm. As and I were literally there. Before this happened, we were talking and there were people talking about it on Twitter saying, hey, this show might drop early. Yeah. And so I got off work early today and I have tomorrow off because we were fully expecting to be up at like midnight doing this.
Yeah.
And then it was like, we were like, dude, the show might drop early. And so like, I'm at the store. Okay.
Yeah.
Like I'm at the store and I was like, just getting my normal sort of like Friday groceries because I have tomorrow off. And it's like, all right, well, if this is going live, like, I'm like, all right, I got some, like, I don't know, M&M popcorn thing. I bought a DiGiorno pizza. I was like, I felt like that was the way to go. It's the false pizza, right? You know, it's
absolutely.
It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. Exactly.
Right.
So now I'm loaded. I got White Claws. I got everything.
Let's go.
Here we go. Okay. So with that, I think S is going to stay live streaming.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to end this broadcast and come back with one.
Okay. And this broadcast come back with one. I'm going to click off here and then we're going to watch episode two and come back. But I think you probably could keep it rolling. I don't know, whatever you want to.
Yeah.
However you want to make sure
everything's tippy top. Yeah.
But I'm going to come off here. And then I will be back in roughly 1 hour and we will dive right into episode two. So with that, guys, leave us a comment. Let us know what you guys think. Stay tuned for more. If you're listening on the podcast, be sure to hit that subscribe button. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple iTunes. It is an enormous, enormous help. Be sure to check out our Patreon or check out Apple Premium, which I think is the best way to sort of get our exclusive content because if you subscribe on Apple Premium, one, it's already on your phone. You already get it's right there on iTunes, and you get access to all of our other shows that we do. So you don't just get just this show's exclusive content. You get the exclusive content for other shows like Bend the Knee, which is a Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire podcast, Hyperspace Hangout, which is a Star Wars podcast, and our brand new, just launched this week, The Elder Wand, a Harry Potter podcast. We just started it. It is a ton of fun, and we're only one episode in. But we have many more of that coming as well. We do not stop ever, okay?
Ever.
Because the grave is no bar to our call.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.